All right, turn to John chapter 4. And here's the problem. You can't worship God in a lie. Y'all understand? I mean, it just you can come up with all the excuses, but you can't worship God in a lie. You can't say that this is that and that is this and just make it up. That's exactly what religion has been doing for years. And so he says in John 4, in verse 22, ye worship you know not what. I wanted to come down to verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. And so, go to John 8. And look, if you will, in 32. And he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then he comes on down in verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. And you can just put in truth for that. You know, because he is the way, life, and the what? Truth. He said, if you loved the Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And then he comes on down, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there is no truth in him. That he doesn't want to tell you the truth. He doesn't want to lay the facts out. He doesn't want you to stand in whatever on truth. He just makes up lies. And then Paul then warns us in Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And the problem lies... He said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Now you gotta be concerned. You gotta be, kind of keep your heads up and, kind of keep yourself on the toes. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is so important. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, hey David. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells the preacher in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2, preach the word. Don't just make up stories, don't just preach what you feel like, or what you think might be right, or how you feel that it might be right. He didn't say that. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? Truth. And shall be turned onto fables. Now, that's a problem, isn't it? So, you can't worship God in a lie. And neither can you say, well, it's of God because you feel it's of God. You know, folks, everything that you need to know about this, and we just came out of the season, and the Christmas season, and what was the big deal about the Christmas season? The baby Jesus, right? The birth of Christ. And everything they say about the story of the birth of Christ is a lie. Every aspect. Now, I don't mind anybody Listen, I don't mind anybody doing whatever celebration they want. What you can't do is you can't make a lie the truth. You understand? I don't really care if you put up a tree. I don't really care if you eat a traditional. That isn't my issue. Y'all understand? My issue is when you're claiming that you're doing it in the name of Jesus. That's the problem I have. It's a pagan holiday from the get-go, and if you don't, we've got some papers in the back. Read them. If you need more information, you can go to the Mystery of Two Babylons. Has it laid out? I mean, point by point. That's not the reason that I'm doing this sermon. I believe biblically, listen, I believe biblically you can point out within a week or so of when Jesus was actually born. Biblically. So now my question is if Brother Barry can do it, and by the time you get done today, you'll be able to do it as well, why would we say it's the 25th? Why not just tell the truth about it? Why not just tell people the truth? And you know why we don't want to tell people the truth? Look in Galatians chapter 4. Well, it doesn't make them any money. But I think the main reason that most of us don't want to tell people the truth is because once we confront them, we're going to become enemies. You know, once you confront them with the truth, you know, they don't like you anymore. And so in Galatians chapter 4, I want you to read with me, if you will, in verse 16. He says, I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. So I'm not trying to become your enemy. I waited until after Christmas to show you this. But, you know, I mean, Maggie's sitting there and she's heard the Christmas story and the star and the star of Bethlehem and all the garbage that went along with it. And she could probably tell me that story. And then she would repeat the same story. And you know what? Every aspect of it is a lie. How many here think the wise men came to the manger? That's what we've heard, isn't it? Over and over again. The wise men didn't come to a manger. They came to a house. 2 years later. And it was a child. So why do we just listen to fables? Because you know what? You're not serious enough as a Bible student to search out the truth. And that's what this church is about. Okay? This church isn't about tradition. If you want that, there's plenty of churches around that have Christmas cantatas and all that, go to those churches. That's not what this church is. If you want the biblical explanation, I hope, then you'll come here. Okay? But I mean, I'd heard that story my whole life. You know? How many wise men were there? It doesn't say in the Bible. How many do they say? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, come on. It's almost ludicrous to start to consider these things and to really ponder on them. And so today, I want to go over, and what I've got on the board is going to be aspects that we're going to use all the way through this sermon, and I hope I get through with it in a couple hours. How you start to determine the birth of Christ has to do with Zacharias and the priest's course. And so, but what I want you to see that I've got the 12 months. Now their 12 months are not like our 12 months. Every month they have is 30 days exactly. Y'all with me? Doesn't matter what months. So like Nisan is part March, part April. Y'all understand? And on and on. And so these line up differently to ours. Their first month, Nisan, is April. And April 14th is the what? Passover, right? And it isn't like Easter. What's the difference between Passover and Easter? The Passover has the exact same date. Doesn't matter what day it lands on. Y'all understand? Easter goes by the spring equinox. Remember that? So it goes by the stars in heaven, but God's prophecy calendar doesn't go by that. You all understand? It's always the same date. Just like the day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is exactly the same day every year. February 14th is the Day of Atonement, Day of Atonement, and on and on. You got it? So that's very important. Go to Jeremiah 10, and you understand that the pagans worship seasons and times. But they didn't worship seasons and times. And so we're not going to go by seasons and times. We're going to go by dates. Does that make sense? This is what he said to the heathens in Jeremiah 10. He said, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathens, and be not dismayed at the signs of what? Heaven. For the heathens are dismayed." Well, it's the spring equinox, it's the winter equinox, it's the winter solstice, and on and on. Those dates change and times change. He said, "For the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe, and they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not." And people argue, well, you know, that's a totem pole. And it is in somewhat a totem pole. It's a god. And it's not a tree, but it's exactly the same way we're doing our Christmas tree. Trust me. But they do it at a certain time of the year when the season is in winter solstice. And that's not how Israel does its time. Does that make sense? Go to Luke chapter 1. Now, we got a lot of verses to cover. Luke chapter 1. And I've got a lot of notes, so I hope I don't miss anything. Verse 5, Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. Write these verses down. You will not remember them. You're bright, you're brilliant, you're beautiful, and you're the best students I know, but you're not that smart. Write them down. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Now notice it said in the course of Abib. Now, these courses are laid out pretty clear in the scriptures. Just keep looking down. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 8. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course." You see that? So we're going to have to start to determine that pretty quick. Verse 23. "And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived." Now, you know, that was a miracle in itself. Why? She was way past age. Look at verse 7. "And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." She was past, probably, menopause. I mean, there's no way that she could have a baby. But, you know, it just goes to prove with God, all things are what? Are possible. In fact, look at verse 37 talking about Elizabeth conceiving a son. "For with God, nothing shall be" what? It's not impossible for God. So, we're going to deal with the way, and I only did the first 3 months because that's all we need to determine on our other chart. Okay? But we're going to read all of them, and I don't know how to pronounce these names. And I'm not going to act like I'm Mr. Theologian and can pronounce them properly. Okay? So, I'm just telling you, they're beyond my vocabulary. And so I can sit here and buffalo you and act like it, but I'll do the best I can. That's all I can do. All right. So that's going to come in. What I need you to go to now is 1 Chronicles 28. It's first in 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Go to 1 Chronicles 28. And now, if you want a copy of this, I've got some notes that I got typed up. But if you'll just mark the scripture, it's written exactly the same way in scripture, so you can just, if you mark it, then you'll have it. Verse 11. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and the house thereof, and the treasure thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof. He gave them all the particulars. Come on down to verse 13. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. You see that? He's given some order to that. Go to 1 Chronicles 24. Go to 1 Chronicles 24. Here are the courses. In 1 Chronicles 24... Verse 5, I'm just going to kind of cut into the context. Verse 1 first. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. You see that? So he's going to divide up Aaron the priesthood. Verse 5, thus were they divided by what? So they cast lots to where they would fall. Now the first lot came to Jehoiarib, and the second to Jedidiah. You got that? The third to Harum, and the fourth to Seorim. Okay? I've got those listed right over here. Can you see these? Here they are. Number one. Number two. Harum. We're up to number four. You see, I've got them listed. Now notice that I have this, and I'm going to put this kind of in a red frame here. That red frame, all the priests had to serve on certain days before the Lord. You all understand? And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. That's why I skipped it here. But this is the first week, the second week, the third week, the fourth week, because there are seven days per week, Sabbath to Sabbath, and on and on. What? Did you raise? Oh, okay. I thought you had a question. All right. So we're getting on down. These are the courses of the priest. And the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malachijah, the sixth to Majamin, he was from Jamaica. Majamin. Just a little humor there. Larry said, very little humor. The seventh to Hazark, and the eighth to Abijah, and that is the course, Abib, that's the course in which Zechariah was involved with. So you want to put Luke chapter 1, verse, I think it's verse 5, but it may be verse 6. Yeah, put Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Uh-huh. Because that's his course. Yeah, it's verse 5, right by verse 10. You see it there? And you want to do the same thing back. Now, I got that marked on our calendar. Here it is right here. You see that? That's that phrase. Over here, Nisan is basically March and April and April, May, June. Like that. Okay? You got it? That's the week. Now, he starts in the second week, but he goes until the what? Third week, because he has to serve 7 days. The course is 7 days. Look, if you will, in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy 16. And he talks about the three times in a year that all the males have to come before the Lord. Look in verse 16, 16. Deuteronomy 16, 16. Now, if you got a question on the internet, please feel free to text me at 334-669-0920. Once again, that number is 334-669-0920. Just feel free to text. No calls, please. Verse 16. Three times in a year shall I make shall all the males appear before the Lord, thy God, in the place which he shall choose, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. You got it? The feast of weeks is Pentecost. Okay, that's the 50, you know, days and the weeks. And then the feast of tabernacles. They were required to be there. How many priests? All the priests. How many men of Israel? All of them. Everybody. It was like a non-exemption. Have you seen where the Muslims go to MARTA and they march around that pilgrimage that they do once a year? That's our Mecca. I'm sorry, Mecca. Thank you. That is exactly the way those feasts right there were. Okay, other than that, they're working in weeks. So you have 24 weeks of priests doing it. And that's basically, if you double that, would be 48 plus the 3 weeks is 51 weeks. And it comes out to about a lunar year. Now, it's not quite a full cycle, but it works out pretty close. Okay? But I know that there are 24 courses. How do I know there's 24 courses? Go back to 1 Chronicles 24. It tells you right there how many courses. Now, I'm not going to name all the rest of the courses because you can do that on your own. That's not that important to me. Y'all understand? The rest of who's doing what in those... Because I'm trying to get to Zacharias and what course he's in. You understand? That's the whole... pendulum to what we're trying to discuss. Go to 1 Chronicles 24 and look in verse 18. And the 3 and 20 to Delaha and 4 and 20 to Mezaha. Okay? That's the 24 courses. And guess what? And then they repeat. Deuteronomy 16 is the key that fits in the rest. Because whenever they have those feast days, all the priests show up and work. Y'all understand? All the priests are there for that week. And they're all taking care of sacrifices and things like that. Does that make sense? So, you've got these 24 courses. Now, the Jewish calendar starts in the spring of the year. It doesn't start in our first month is January. It's getting ready to come here. We got a new year coming up, and we're going to have a preach-a-thon here, so please tune in and on the internet and whatever. The third week would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread right there. So we got one, two. This one, when it come to pass, why? All the priests are required. Y'all with me? Then the third course would pick up. Then the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth would have been here, but that's Pentecost. And so Pentecost couldn't be there, so the eighth one is on in the third week, and it's from the second to the third week. 7 days. It's Sabbath day is a Sabbath day. You with me? So that's how the courses went. Well, if that's true, he worked from the third week to the fourth week. This week went from the fourth week to on and on. Well, this somewhere toward the end of the third week, Zechariah left his course. Go to Luke chapter 1 again. Luke chapter 1, again. Verse 5, again. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abib, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, well, we've nailed that down, amen? It's in the month of what? Sivan, see it? On the second of the third week of the Jewish calendar. You got it? I've got it. I've got it nailed down. I know when it is. It's the same time every year. It doesn't switch. All right? Now, verse... What? Now, watch. Verse 23, Luke chapter 1, verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth, what? All right, now, this is where it gets rather fascinating. I mean, I told Brenda, no wonder Satan would want all this covered up. Wait until you see... I can't find my page. There it is. Now, if... hang on. I'm sorry. Let me make sure I've... Yeah. The red is going to be John the Baptist. Okay? And the blue will be Jesus. Now, it's really important mathematically that we do this thing correctly. Why? Think about it. The basic pregnancy or the gestation period of a human is how many days? 280 days. Okay, y'all with me? Now you gotta zoom in on this so they can get it on the internet. 280 days. But their calendar months are how long? 30 days. So I'm gonna take my handy dandy iPhone and, we're gonna get over here to the math for just a minute. I know the answer, but I'm just gonna do it for everybody. 280 divided by 30 equals 30 is 9.3333. You got it? You with me? So it's a little longer than 9 months. Why? It's 280 days. Right? It'd be 9 days and a third of it, which would be about 10 days, right? Thereabouts, approximately. Well, if he didn't come out until the end, which would have been during this course, somewhere in between here and here, which is the end of the month, John's conception would have happened within about a week. Now, I can't name the exact day. Do you all understand? But look at where this day lands, and this is what's incredibly fascinating. Are y'all fascinated as of yet? Huh? Y'all getting it? Y'all hanging with me? Now listen, if I can figure this out, and other people can figure this out, why don't we just tell the truth about it? Why do we have to artificially go to these fables about a guy that runs around on a sled that doesn't even exist and knows everything, and then somehow connected to Jesus? Now, I'm not against the red guy in the sleigh, but there are some problems with him in the Word of God. That's why I read John 8. If you're of a lie, you can't be. God is not a man that he should what? Lie. God is truth. You want to worship God, you got to worship Him in truth. Say, well, I understand this. I'll just accept that as truth, and that's the way it is. But I'm going to count the months. That would be 1 month, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.3. Now, why is that important? Well, he was 6 months. We'll get to that in just a minute. But why is that important? Why is that one-third in Nisan important? Guys, it's the Feast of Passover and of Unleavened Bread. The first fruits. Isn't that fascinating? That his birthday would land somewhere around Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, that's fascinating to me. It ought to be fascinating to you. He comes before the Lord. Now, you know, why can't we just tell the story? That's what I don't get. Why do we have to mix it up, like somehow apply? You know what they are? They're a bunch of liars. And you know what? People get more mad about Christmas than anything, and I'm like, why do you care? Celebrate whatever you want to celebrate, just don't connect it to the birth of my Savior. Don't put out a manger scene. It didn't happen that way. Why would you want to perpetuate a lie? Now, how many think that that's pretty accurate? That John would have been born right around Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's pretty weird, isn't it? But you know what's even stranger? Is I can go now and start to count the months. Well, I can't do it with that yet. One, count them with me. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, there is, right there, in that month, which happens to be November, December. I've heard even people put it December 25th. It isn't December 25th. But you know what's fascinating about that week? That's Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. It's the celebration of life. Hanukkah is before the 25th of December. I've heard people say, well, Happy Conception Day. Well, that's baloney too. And you know what's fascinating about the whole thing with the lights? Go to John. John. Let me see. Let me look it up. Give me just a second here. Yeah, John 1 verse 8, is that it? Yes, John 1 verse 8, I think. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. Verse 8, wouldn't this be fascinating that he was conceived on Hanukkah? Now, why would he be conceived on a pagan festival of the 25th of December? Would you think the Savior of the universe, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be born or conceived, let's say conceived right now, on December 25th? Knowing all the pagan rituals, and he said, be not dismayed of the heathens, for they are dismayed at the signs of heaven. Don't you think he would have it on a feast day and of a celebration that the priest and people would know? He said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. Well, this whole thing about Hanukkah, I think it's in John 10:10. I'm not sure. Go there. Somehow I didn't write it down. But, you know, hey, that stuff, things happen, you know. No, it's John 10:22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was what? Winter. That's the Hanukkah celebration right there. Do you see that? It is a celebration, and it is when? In the winter. When was Jesus conceived? In the winter. Was it December 25th? No. You know what? You cannot worship God with a lie. God is not honored by you saying, I'm going to worship you in lies. He is not impressed with our lies. He's not impressed with our fables. He's not impressed with what we've done. He's impressed with His plan. Now watch how this works out. So this would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 1/3. Now, why do you think that's so fascinating? Because in that month, which is the seventh month, are the three most important feasts to the entire Jewish faith. The Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's in there, all that. And isn't it fascinating? When would you gather everybody together to go before Jerusalem to tax them? Huh? There are three places. Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, and the other feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. That's right. So it would be the perfect time to tax people. Amen? Not only that, but Mary was having a hard time finding room at the inn. She didn't stay in Jerusalem. Where was the baby born? Well, Bethlehem, guys, is approximately 5 miles away. Why do you think they could get any closer? Everybody was there. There was no more room. Now, how many have found this fascinating so far? Now, if I can do this, why can't the other churches do this? And I know Deborah's thinking, they're not as good as you, Barry. Remember that they're just following tradition after tradition after tradition. I mean, how many here have ever studied this out? One or two? Let me tell you, it's common knowledge. It is not like it's hidden from God. God is not hiding this from your eyes. Now, we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back and work on it a little bit more. Okay? So you all take a break, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes.